Hi, thank you for listening to this live-action ebook on Cisco Quality of Service. Part 1. How does QoS work? Quality of Service, also known as QoS, is a suite of technologies utilized to manage bandwidth usage as data crosses computer networks. Its most common use is for the protection of real-time and high-priority data applications in converged networks. All network infrastructure devices have limits on the amount of traffic that can flow through them. In packet and frame switched networks, this results in data being delayed or dropping during times of congestion. QoS management is the collection of mechanisms that control how traffic is prioritized and handled during these times. QoS technologies or tools each have specific roles that are used in conjunction with one another to build end-to-end network QoS policies. The two most common QoS tools used to handle traffic are classification and queuing. Classification identifies and marks traffic to ensure network devices know how to identify and prioritize data as it traverses the network. Queues are buffers in devices that hold data to be processed. Queues provide bandwidth reservation and prioritization of traffic as it enters or leaves a network device. If the queues are not emptied due to high priority traffic going first, they overflow and drop traffic. Policing and shaping are also commonly used QoS technologies that limit the bandwidth utilized by administratively defined traffic types. Policing enforces bandwidth to a specified limit. If applications try to use more bandwidth than they are allocated, their traffic will be remarked or dropped. Shaping defines a software set limit on the transmission bandwidth rate of a data class. If more traffic needs to be sent than the shaped limit allows, the excess will be buffered. This buffer can then utilize queuing to prioritize data as it leaves the buffer. The weighted random early discard technology provides a congestion avoidance mechanism that will drop lower priority TCP data to attempt to protect higher priority data from the adverse effects of congestion. Finally, link-specific fragmentation and compression tools are used on lower bandwidth WANs to ensure real-time applications do not suffer from high jitter and delay. Part 2. Classification and marking. The first step in the QoS configuration process is to determine an application's packets and classify them using Layer 2 or Layer 3 QoS markings to identify them within the network. There are several ways to classify traffic. Some common methods are access control lists applied to a class map, for example IP address or port, application type applied to a class map via NBAR or NBAR2, switch port trust state. Once a packet is identified, it is typically marked near the source of the traffic flow, allowing the packets to receive differentiated treatment throughout the network. Marking is typically done at the Layer 3 IP header using the Differentiated Services Code Point, DSCP. LAN implementations use the class of service field. There are two paradigms that are generally accepted as best strategies for how to best classify and mark traffic. Firstly, the LAN. LAN switches, such as Cisco's Catalyst portfolio, perform hardware-based QoS marking at wire speed. Hence, LAN access switches can be the best place to enable marking to take advantage of hardware-based QoS and ensure packets receive proper treatment throughout the network. Although these hardware-based QoS mechanisms do not significantly impact the CPU load on the switch, they often have limited configuration capabilities, like consolidated basic access control lists for classifying traffic. Another consideration with this strategy is the sheer number of LAN interfaces that must be accurately configured to ensure proper classification and marking are working effectively. This often becomes extremely difficult to manage at scale. Secondly, the WAN. WAN routers such as Cisco's ISRs and ASRs have more QoS matching and marking capabilities. This often makes it easier to accurately ensure traffic is marked as desired. In addition, There are often significantly fewer interfaces that need to be configured correctly to successfully match and mark traffic at the WAN edge. Finally, the WAN edge is where QoS congestion is most likely to occur. Hence, matching and marking at the WAN edge ensures traffic is properly identified and subsequently prioritized accurately where it is most needed. Those that choose this strategy must keep in mind that by focusing where QoS matters most and is simplest to deploy, the results are practically good enough versus a more complex, technically accurate strategy. Part 3, queuing. There are several types of queues built into network devices. For Cisco devices, the two most common are priority queues and class-based weighted fair queuing. Priority queues are designed for use with packets that require low latency and low jitter treatment, such as voice or video over IP. Priority queues will drop any oversubscription during times of congestion. Class-based weighted fair queuing is designed for bulk and transactional traffic that are not as time, loss, or jitter sensitive. Each class-based weighted fair queuing queue can specify a reserved bandwidth that is guaranteed to be available for use by that class during times of congestion. Finally, queue depth can also be set to ensure traffic bursts can be handled by a queue. Congestion avoidance mechanisms such as weighted random early detection can be used to drop packets as the queues fill up in order to throttle back TCP-based applications. There are also settings for class-based queues that can reduce the possibility of congestion. These settings use DSCP markings to determine the priority of packets to be dropped before the queue becomes full. Part 4, shaping and policing. Policing involves checking the packet rate for a particular classification of flows to determine if it conforms to specified rate settings, such as a packet flow for a certain source could be set to not exceed 50 kilobytes per second. The policer will check to see if there is excess traffic, and if excess traffic exists, it can drop the packets in order to conform to that specified rate. The policer can also specify thresholds for exceeding as well as violating and to take actions that include marking down DSCP values rather than simply dropping packets. Markdown involves changing the DSCP value in the IP packet based on flow conditions, which changes the priority of the packets as they traverse the network. Shaping involves delaying packets that exceed a software-defined threshold. If more data is trying to be sent than the shaped threshold, packets are held in the buffer until a later time when they can be sent out. This has the effect of smoothing outbursts, but unlike policers, shaping will attempt to not drop packets in the process. Queuing policers can be assigned to the shaped buffer to prioritize applications as they leave the buffer. If there is congestion or a large amount of traffic, however, the buffer may overflow, causing dropped packets. Part 5. Link efficiency mechanisms. First, LLFI for MLP. Link fragmentation and interleaving for multi-link PPP. MLP splits, recombines, and sequences datagrams across multiple logical data links. Large delay sensitive datagrams are multi-link encapsulated and fragmented into smaller packets to satisfy delay requirements. Small delay sensitive packets are not encapsulated but are interleaved between these fragments. Secondly, LFI for frame relay, FRF.12. FRF.12 fragments packets that are larger than the settings specified using the frame relay fragment size command. Frame relay cannot distinguish between VoIP and data, therefore configure the fragmentation size on the DLCI so voice frames are not fragmented. The fragment size is specified in bytes. The default is 53 bytes. Many variables determine the size of the voice packets. Third, CRTP. Compressed real-time protocol reduces inline overhead for multimedia RTP traffic, resulting in a corresponding reduction in delay. CRTP is especially beneficial when the RTP payload size is small, such as compressed audio payloads of 20 to 50 bytes. CRTP should be used on any WAN interface where bandwidth is a concern or there is a high portion of RTP traffic. Note that CRTP requires more processing on the routers. Part 6. QoS Deployment Lifecycle. Defining and deploying QoS can be a daunting task for any IT department, even with highly skilled engineers on staff. In order to be successful and make the process as manageable as possible, QoS deployment should be broken up into discrete sequential stages that can serve as milestones for the project. A typical implementation would follow these stages. First, project planning and buy-in. Understand the current and near future QoS needs of the organization as a whole. Choose an appropriate QoS model and then get department buy-in before beginning. Second, investigation. Discover and document current and future network architecture. This includes gather snapshots from existing QoS policies, research the QoS capabilities of the network devices, baseline the network with flow monitoring and usage analysis. Third, design. Select a QoS model for the traffic classes and define QoS policies for headquarters and campus LANs, WANs, and branch offices, and VPNs. Fourth, proof of concept. Test QoS policies and settings first in a non-production environment using real and synthetic traffic to generate controlled conditions. Test separately for each policy and then with all policies combined. Fifth, iterative deployment cycle. Roll out QoS policies in a phased approach, either by sections of the network or by QoS functions, classification, then queuing. Confirm changes at each iteration for at least 24 hours before continuing to the next step. Finally, ongoing monitoring and analysis. Perform ongoing monitoring and adjust the policies not just for the average daily usage, but also for monthly, quarterly, and yearly business cycles. Part 7. Project planning and buy-in. The first step to any successful project is a good plan. This plan involves understanding the QoS needs of the organization, choosing the QoS model that fits these needs, designing the implementation, and finally implementing that design. A good plan starts with understanding the business's current and near future needs. This will help to define the size and scope of the implementation. Perhaps voice services are being implemented now, but video teleconferencing will be rolled out in a year. Knowing this business objective, a design could be chosen that supports both technologies from the start. Another overlooked aspect of planning is getting departmental buy-in. While VoIP deployment may be rolled out company-wide, there may be some department-specific applications that are considered mission-critical and other applications that are planned for deployment next year. It's good to get departmental buy-in and understand their future needs before the QoS project gets started. Part 8. Investigation. If making significant hardware or software changes coincide with any QoS rollouts, make these first before adding complexity with new QoS policies. This is also a good time to snapshot existing QoS policies in case any changes need to be rolled back later in the process. The first step in creating a QoS design is to gain an understanding of the current network architecture. This includes understanding the applications used to support the network and the traffic running over it. If QoS has not been deployed on the network before, this would be the time to research and understand what QoS capabilities are available in the network devices. If the network's traffic patterns have not been baselined, or if there have been recent network changes, now is the time to do so. A NetFlow monitoring application will be needed to gather and present network traffic information for analysis. This information will highlight typical utilization patterns of current network applications and may even help spot problems. This data may even indicate that further network infrastructure changes are needed to support any bandwidth-intensive applications such as video teleconferencing. Remember, QoS does not create bandwidth. It can only optimize the bandwidth available. This document will highlight how this can be accomplished using LiveAction's LiveNX software. Part 9, Design. Once a solid understanding of current and future QoS requirements is gathered, it's time to begin the QoS design. The design may include network changes such as bandwidth or hardware and software upgrades, but it must include the selection of a QoS model and the different router and switch policies needed to support the model. Policies will need to be tailored to the different areas of the network. Depending on the network's complexity, this may include access, distribution, core, WAN edge, remote offices, and security networks and devices. QoS policies may also be implemented at the Internet Edge services for VPN users if mission-critical or voice applications are accessed remotely. There are several standardized QoS models that can be chosen to support the number of classes required in the network infrastructure. Cisco has defined several models from 3, 4, 5, 8, and 11 classes to the latest 12-class MediaNet model. More classes are not always better for the organization due to hardware limitations, MPLS service provider restrictions, or there are not enough IT resources to manage the extra complexity. Many networks implement multiple class models for various sections of their network. For initial QoS deployment, a smaller 3, 4, or 5 class model can be used to simplify the process. The model can easily be expanded over time as additional applications and requirements arise. QoS policies should be designed from the high-level requirements gathered in the project planning stage. Once the requirements are understood, they can be translated to QoS best practices for the various application types. If the network design requires high-priority traffic to traverse WAN links, consider how QoS will be implemented under these circumstances. This may mean upgrading service levels with the provider to support multiple levels of priority, and then selecting how applications would map to the provider's configurations. If the service provider has no QoS policy on their network, they will disregard any QoS markings on their network. Traffic can still be prioritized as it leaves the corporate network, but there is no guarantee how it will be treated. For many WAN environments, there will be a link speed mismatch between a WAN link's physical capabilities and the committed information rate purchased by the service provider. This is most common on high bandwidth metro Ethernet WANs and MPLS networks where the service providers are not using QoS. In these designs, use hierarchical policies that shape the QoS policy to the WAN link capacity. Hierarchical WAN traffic shaping involves creating a high-level shaping policy and then associating it with a lower-level policy. When applied to an interface, this policy forces the interface to shape all outgoing traffic to the parent class rate. Once shaped, the lower-level QoS policy queues traffic based on the shaped value and not the raw interface speed itself. Thus, queuing will result when the shaped value becomes congested. The committed bus and excess bus should be configured to ensure optimum performance for real-time traffic like VoIP and video over IP. The BC should be set to a value less than or equal to 1 out of 100 of the target shaped rate. This value may be increased to 2 out of 100 for immersive video over IP deployments. The VE should always be configured as 0. Part 10, Proof of Concept. Any significant QoS deployment must start in the test lab. This is where configuration settings can be tested and validated in a non-production environment. Ideally, the test lab will have the same routers and switches and software versions as the production network. Real and synthetic traffic should be generated in controlled conditions similar to the production network to check the operation of QoS policies and settings. This process must be repeated for each different policy, and finally together with all other policies deployed. Part 11, iterative deployment. Once QoS policies have been validated in a test environment, the process to roll them out in a phased approach can begin. In order to facilitate the daunting task of implementing such a large change to a network, it should be broken up into implementation phases. At each phase, a change is made. The change is confirmed through monitoring, adjustments are made, and deployment proceeds to the next phase until the project is complete. This method allows the project to proceed on a flexible schedule that can be interrupted at milestones while maintaining business continuity. This phased approach can be carried out in different scenarios. One option is to pick a small portion of a larger network for initial deployment. This can be a remote site with a smaller network. Another option is to deploy the policies by function. For example, the first phase would start with just the classification and marking policies on endpoints and network devices. The traffic can be monitored to determine if the markings are being applied correctly. Once confirmed, queuing, policing, and LFI mechanism can be deployed systematically. At each stage of policy deployment, the traffic and QoS policies need to be monitored for proper operation. The policies should be fine-tuned as issues are uncovered. This monitoring should occur for at least 24 hours, but ideally a week in order to catch different usage patterns that occur throughout the workday and week. This process of monitoring and fine-tuning is repeated until the deployment is complete. Part 12. Ongoing monitoring and analysis. Once fully implemented, a QoS-enabled network will require ongoing monitoring and maintenance. Over time, changes will occur to the usage patterns, new applications will be deployed, and these changes will need to be incorporated into the existing policies. Another consideration is cyclical usage patterns. The most obvious of these are the work week cycle, where traffic occurs in 10 to 12 hour cycles from Monday to Friday. However, there are other cycles that occur at the end of fiscal periods, such as monthly, quarterly, and yearly. During these times, voice calls and ERP usage may peak due to accounting, manufacturing, sales, or internal meeting activities, and these usage patterns will need to be accounted for. Part 13. Tools for successful QoS implementation. Before deploying QoS, consideration should be given to the tools available to staff for performing the critical functions involved. Implementing QoS requires a wide range of functions from monitoring and analysis to configuration and testing. Budgeting for QoS deployments needs to include funding for network management software tools. These tools will ensure accurate and effective QoS policy creation and enable a deeper understanding of the network environment for capacity planning, tuning, and troubleshooting efforts. Consideration should be given to an application such as LiveActions LiveNX. LiveNX is an application-aware network performance management tool that will graphically display how networks and applications are performing using SNMP and the latest advanced NetFlow capabilities now embedded in Cisco devices. In addition to showing application and network performance, LiveNX provides the ability to control application performance via its graphical QoS management capabilities. This software solution integrates all of the functionality required in a QoS deployment into a cohesive, easy-to-manage framework. By combining the entire workflow of analysis, configuration, testing, and tuning into an all-in-one solution, a QoS deployment can greatly benefit from improved efficiency and accuracy. Using LiveNX's built-in expert capability to build and adjust policies graphically, understand network-wide traffic patterns visually, and gain detailed QoS statistics enables a quicker understanding of how policies are working and what adjustments need to be made when tuning QoS policies. Part 14, Traffic Monitoring and Analysis. The early stages of a QoS deployment involves information gathering that is then used to design QoS policies. For information gathering, NetFlow, MBAR, and SNMP monitoring and reporting tools are required. Implementing and analyzing QoS monitor-only policies are also very helpful in the information gathering stages of a QoS deployment. The tools used for monitoring these technologies need to support long-term traffic analysis and reporting at 1 minute or better views to gain a thorough understanding of the network's data usage prior to any QoS policy design. LiveNX can provide both real-time and historical views and reports that are specifically tailored for QoS deployments. The following examples will show how LiveNX is able to give a real-time view of a single interface's performance from different technology perspectives. LiveNX is able to show an interface's network performance from a NetFlow perspective through detailing bandwidth by TCP or UDP port usage. LiveNX is also able to show a network's interface performance from an MBAR perspective, as well as an interface's network performance from a QoS perspective by detailing bandwidth usage by queue, and by also showing the interface's SNMP's bandwidth usage. These specific views can be used to highlight the volume of data each application is utilizing on the interface for the last 10 minutes. This data can then be used for real-time capacity planning of QoS policies. LiveNX can also be used as a historical reporting tool. Traffic monitoring and analysis for QoS policy creation should typically have at least 1 week's worth of historical data for accurate policy creation. LiveNX has multiple reports that would typically be used as part of planning in a QoS deployment, such as a historical NetFlow application report, or a QoS historical report on NBAR and POST policy, which can be used to gather the volume of bandwidth each application is utilizing on an interface for the period of time selected. Such reports should be run on multiple devices and interfaces to understand a network's overall application usage. Note that all historical reports in LiveNX can show data at 1 minute granularity. This ensures the reports have the detail required for accurate QoS policy creation. Part 15, QoS Design and Configuration. Designing QoS policies and configuring them on routers is a time-consuming, complex, and intimidating process that requires trained engineers. This process can be greatly simplified by a QoS tool with built-in expert capability in the form of GUI wizards, templates, and interactive screens for designing, deploying, and adjusting QoS policy. LiveNX provides easy-to-use workflows that enable engineers to deploy, tune, and validate QoS policies across an enterprise network quickly and accurately. LiveNX has built in advanced QoS policy templates and wizards based on Cisco best practices. Engineers can quickly deploy Cisco recommended 12, 11, 8, 5, 4, or 3 class model QoS policies. LiveNX also has built in QoS monitoring templates using either NBAR or ACLs. These monitor-only templates do not prioritize any applications, but they are extremely helpful for trending and baseline traffic patterns. LiveNX has a GUI called Manage QoS Settings that provides engineers a point-and-click interface to quickly create, edit, and deploy custom QoS policies. This QoS configuration interface has built-in rules checking and reference information to warn engineers about configuration issues and provide solutions. This tool can replace the use of complex CLI commands associated with QoS. Using LiveNX, engineers can create advanced QoS queuing policies with WRED congestion avoidance, classify and match traffic to classes using ACL, MBAR, DSCP value, and more. Create hierarchical QoS policies, deploy standardized QoS policies to the rest of the network, and revert changes as needed. LiveNX also has built-in ACL management capabilities that gives administrators a GUI to configure and push access lists to the devices in the enterprise. This feature provides engineers the ability to centrally manage and deploy ACLs in a uniform, consistent manner. With LiveNX, access lists can be created from scratch, if already in place, discovered automatically and edited, created or edited using NetFlow data. LiveNX can also create ACLs based on the NetFlow data it collects. This can be accomplished from both real-time and historical report views. Part 16, QoS Monitoring and Analysis. When implementing Cisco QoS, there are a number of useful QoS statistics available in iOS to help understand how well policies are working and guide any needed policy adjustments. However, it's very difficult to use these statistics in a meaningful manner when using the command line interface. Having a software tool that supports comprehensive real-time polling and historical reporting of QoS performance is critical. Key features should include CBQoS and MBAR MIB support, interface graphs for before and after QoS on input, output, or both, statistics by class and class drops and interface drops. This information can also be useful when troubleshooting network latency issues resulting from application malfunctions or virus outbreaks, MBAR application statistics, historical graphs with Zoom and report generation. In addition, troubleshooting and implementation will be much easier with system-wide flow visualization. This is critical for quickly gaining end-to-end awareness of the traffic flowing across the network and identifying points of congestion, incorrectly configured services, and invalid traffic. Since LiveNX is a NetFlow collector and mapping tool too, it has the ability to graphically paint a picture of the traffic that is flowing over a network. By using red arrows as a graphical representation of a conversation between two endpoints, engineers can quickly analyze the devices in the network path that are part of a conversation and can also determine the QoS markings set on the traffic. This is done by using the legend which correlates the DSCP marking to a color. This ability to track QoS markings visually facilitates quick and accurate validation of QoS classification policies. Any problems with DSCP markings can be quickly understood and fixed. LiveNX will also highlight any QoS performance issues in real time. This is shown as an interface coming up in an amber color, which indicates a QoS performance issue. If the amber interface is investigated further with LiveNX's point-and-click interface, the root of the QoS issue can be discovered. If these drops are causing business-critical applications to fail, the same real-time and historical reports highlighted in traffic monitoring analysis and the QoS pre-policy and post-policy drops historical report can be utilized to determine if any tuning needs to take place with the QoS policy configuration. Part 17, Traffic Generation and Analysis. Whether experimenting in the lab or verifying performance in an operational network, it is useful to have some type of traffic generation and analysis control. Many Cisco devices support built-in IP SLA capabilities that generate synthetic traffic and provide performance statistics from that traffic. Cisco IP SLAs generate synthetic test traffic in a continuous, reliable, and predictable manner to enable accurate measurement of a network performance. Simulating network traffic with appropriate QoS markings can validate the operational performance of QoS policies and ensure critical applications are performing as required. LiveNX's IPSLA features will greatly aid in QoS testing and monitoring via Quick Test Wizard and Advanced GUI Setup, support for all IPSLA traffic types, including voice, HTTP, UDP, graphical results summary tables, detailed test results including latency, loss, jitter, and MOS, real-time topology views of IPSLA traffic flows. LiveNX also supports the latest and complex IPSLA video operation tests. These tests will turn Cisco network devices into video traffic generators that will simulate video over IP calls. These simulated calls are used to validate a QoS policy's ability to handle video stringent network requirements on the network. Part 18, the conclusion. Implementing QoS on a network of any size is a complex and time-consuming process. Implementation requires a diverse skill set that encompasses technical and even political skills, project management expertise, patience, and confidence. Proper planning, technical, and project understanding, along with the right network management tools, will help network managers and engineers deploy and maintain converged QoS-enabled networks with less time, money, and stress. In addition, the policies, tools, and processes put into place will be useful in many other aspects of network management. Taking the time to set up these monitoring mechanisms will give administrators a more complete view of the overall health of the network, its weak points, and potential challenges, well before they become issues. For more information on solutions to help deploy and manage QoS, please visit LiveAction's website at www.liveaction.com. Thank you for listening to this ebook.